This is what God spoke to Joshua when Joshua was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And God is telling Joshua, it's time now to go into the land, the promised land. The land that I promised to give to the people of Israel, it's time to go in. So here he is. He's on the... Yeah, he's on the eastern side, right? I just totally thought I messed up my directions here. He's on the eastern side of the Jordan River. So he sees the Jordan, and across the river there, a little bit ways, there's Jericho, a fortified city, and a land that is inhabited by other people, full of what the Israelites called giants. By giants, we don't mean like they were 20 feet tall. They were just really big, like basketball players or something. No, you know? They were like 7 feet tall, very strong people. And they would say, man, these people are giants. And what happened was, God is coming to Joshua and he's saying to him, listen, Moses, the one that led the people of Israel out of slavery, they'd been in slavery for 430 years in Egypt, the one that God used to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, and then God used Moses to lead these people through the wilderness, and they had to wander for 40 years because they were too stubborn to go in the first time. They were too afraid to go in the first time, the first generation. So now Joshua is here, and he's lost his leader. He doesn't have his mentor. He doesn't have this other generation has died off. He's looking at this land full of giants and fortified cities, and God is saying, it's time now. It's time. It's time. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to speak to us about, that there's some areas in your life. There's some promises. There's some prayers that you've prayed. There's some things that you've been believing God for, waiting on the Lord for, and it's time to enter into those things. It's time to take possession of some promises that the Lord has spoken to you in 2018. And you'll see here that the Lord is speaking to Joshua in verse 2, and he says, arise, go. Arise, go over this Jordan. Lead these people. Take them into the land that I promised them. And God lays out the territory. You see this here. He explains it to him, saying that in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I have given it to you. It's yours. It's your inheritance. It's your possession. It's your territory. It's what I have destined you to have. This is what he's saying to Joshua and for all the people of Israel. And he goes on to explain to him in verse 4 the territory of that land. You notice what he says. He says, from this wilderness, which is on the eastern side of the Jordan, and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, which is a very large river in the north. So he's saying all the way from this southern kind of desert region, all the way up to the river Euphrates, from this eastern side, then he says, all the way to the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, on the west. He says, that great sea toward the going down of the sun, that shall be your territory. That shall be your territory. See, here's the thing. God had made a promise to Abraham hundreds of years before this time. So God shows up to this man named Abram, and he later changes his name to Abraham, and he says to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, the land of the Canaanites. And Abraham lived in that land and didn't own it. And then he had a son named Isaac, and God made the same promise to Isaac. This is going to be your land. And he made the same promise to Isaac's son, Jacob. And he made the same promise to that people of Israel before they went into Egypt. And now here they've been delivered from Egypt. And God spoke that same promise to Moses. When God called Moses, he didn't just say, hey, you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt. He said, you're going to deliver them out of Egypt, and you're going to be the one finally to bring them into the promised land. But listen, it's only the promised land because God promised it. It was only their inheritance because God gave it to them, destined them to have it. Do you hear what he's saying? You're going to go in and you're going to take this because at the end of verse 4 it says, because this is your territory. Your territory. Can you imagine if the Israelites were like, yeah, you know, I don't really like this one. I don't really like this one. I'm not sure about this one. Why don't we go over to like China or something? What if we go over to Pakistan? Do you think that would work? It wouldn't work. The favor of God would not be upon them. The only reason why God was going to back them in this endeavor, the only reason why God was going to go before them and fight for them, the only reason why they could be sure that no man could stand against them is because God had promised them that they could have it. Do you see? So you can't go and just take territory. You get what I'm saying? They couldn't just go and just take any land. You can't. This is what people do sometimes. They get all funny with the Bible, don't they? They get kind of weird, like, it says right here, everywhere the sole of my foot treads is mine. Well, yeah, but you got to read the context. God's saying, no, because I already told you this is your territory, so now go get your feet on it. Well, people just take that out of context and be like, yeah, anywhere I walk, that's mine, or whatever I do, God's going to, no. Not. You can't just go out and do whatever you think is a good idea, and then God will bless it. You can't go out and do whatever's in your feelings or your emotions or your heart or whatever seems right to you and think that God's going to back it. What God backs is what he promises. What he backs is when you step out and take hold of the thing that he already gave you through a promise. See, what's your territory? What's your territory? You know, a lot of times people want to tell us who we are. Tell us what we should do. Everybody's got an opinion, don't they? But that may not be your territory. How do you know who you are? How do you know what you are called to do? How do you know where your territory is? What your calling is? What your gifts are? How do you know what your value and your worth is? How do you know? Everybody's got an opinion, huh? Some people, they'll tell you that you're awesome. My dad used to say, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I thought to myself, that's the weirdest thing. But now I get it because his mom said that, and back then I guess sliced bread was a new invention. You know what I'm saying? To my kids, I'd be like, you're the greatest thing since like the iPhone, you know, or something. I don't know. Some people say some nice things, but other people don't say nice things, huh? Some of you never even heard the phrase, you're the greatest thing. Some people use other words, four-letter words, to describe us and our value. How do you know who you are? Some people are going to come alongside you and they're going to believe in you. Yeah, I believe in you. You can do it. Other people, they're going to tell you why you can't do it. It's too hard for you. How do you know who you are? You need to hear the Lord. Amen? You need to hear the Lord. Listen, it says right here, it says, every place the sole of your foot will tread, in verse 3, I have given you, as I said to Moses. As I said to Moses. See, God spoke to Abraham and said, this is your land. God spoke to Isaac, this is your land. He spoke to Jacob, this is your land. He spoke to Moses, this is your land. He spoke to Joshua, this is your land. You've got to hear the Lord. If you don't hear God, how do you know what your territory is? This is the number one. They heard God speak to them. You don't know who you are if you don't hear the Lord tell you who you are. And you don't know what you're called to do unless God speaks to you and tells you this is what you're called to do. People will tell you, oh, you're good at that. You should do this. And they're just trying to help. That's good. I mean, that's better than people being negative. But they don't know. They don't really know what you're called to do. They don't have the perspective that God has. See, in order to know your territory, you need to hear the Lord. Now, what's interesting about the promised land is it wasn't just about the land. It wasn't just about the land. As we've seen many times, as we've studied the Bible, the promised land was promised land because God promised it. And it was only blessed because God was with them. You take God out of the equation, it's just land. You can do good things, but you take God out of the equation and you don't have that supernatural blessing that we long for and that we need. But as we've seen many times in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it wasn't just about the land, it was about the promised blessings. The land was going to be full of the presence of God and full of the blessings of God, so that God would say, oh, it doesn't matter if you're in the city or the country, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your homes. I'm going to bless your kids. I'm going to bless you physically with health. I'm going to bless your provision. I'm going to make sure the rain comes down at the right time, because right, they were farmers. I'm going to make the crops grow and your animals, you know, bear the sheep, bear the sheep and all that. And I'm going to bless your, he says, I'm going to bless your kneading bowl and your storehouses, which basically would mean like your pantry, your refrigerator, your bank account. Like God is saying, listen, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. If their enemies come at you, I'm going to scatter them seven ways. Right, these are promises all over the Bible, and you see them in Deuteronomy 28 and other places. What's the point? The point is that the promised land wasn't just land. It was the promise of God being with them and blessing them and taking care of them and providing for them. And that's still true to this day. See, we as believers, we aren't necessarily called to inherit the land of Israel. That land was given to the biological descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel. That's their land. Even to this day, the Bible makes it very clear, it's an eternal inheritance to the people of Israel. Even to this day, that's why they are in the land right now. I mean, we can argue about politics and such, but God promised to give Israel that land. And they've made bad choices, right? They got kicked out of the land at some points. Other people have tried to harm them. People have tried to decimate the Jewish people, and yet couldn't do it because God has a plan for them. And of course, we know it's the enemy who's behind a lot of that, because he wants to make God a liar. And yet God cannot lie. And that is why right now, the Jewish people are living in the land of Israel. That's why. Because God said so. That doesn't mean that everything that they do is good, or, you know, I'm not trying to make any political statements. People are people. People make bad choices. But God made a promise. That's your land. And for almost 2,000 years, the Israelites were not in the land. You know, after the time of Jesus, they got kicked out again in 70 AD, and they weren't in the land all the way until the 1940s. And you know, I mean, we're talking almost 2,000 years. You know, people were like, that's never going to happen. I guess God was wrong. Oh, you haven't been around long enough, have you? Oh, little one. Oh, little whippersnapper. See, a lot of times we think that we know what's up, don't we? We think we know. We have not been around very long. Even the ones of us who are a little older, we have not been around very long. And we don't realize, oh, God's got this thing figured out. And for 2,000 years, the people of Israel, almost 2,000 years, they weren't in the land. And yet, oh, here they are. Oh, here they are. They're in the land because it's their land. That's right. And Jesus will come back. And Jesus, who of course is a Jewish man, right? Jesus, God, became a man. Well, he became a Jewish man. Well, he's going to reign right there in Israel. This is their land. But see, for us, we, because we're in Christ, we inherit all the promises of God. Because we're in Christ, we actually get connected up with Abraham and the promises of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Because we're children of God, we're also heirs with Abraham. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 1:20 it says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because we're in Christ, we get all those promises. And so you could actually make a good argument for the fact that this Bible right here, this book, full of the promises of God, this is our promised land. This is our territory. Because if there's a promise in this book, it's ours. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Do we need to read those promises in the right context? Make sure we apply them correctly? Oh, absolutely. We don't want to be funny with the Bible. We want to be honest with the Bible. But this book is your promised land. This book is your territory. This book tells you who you are and what you're called to do. And of course, the Holy Spirit who wrote this book and lives inside of us, he can personalize and make these things true for us and help you to understand how it applies to you. But this book tells you the right way to live, and the things to avoid. Like that old kids' song. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. This is our book. This is our book. This is our inheritance. These are our promises. This is our territory. And this is what the Lord's saying to us. Listen, if you want to enter into your promised land, you first have to enter into His word. You know, that's what He's saying to Joshua. Listen to what He's saying to Joshua. He's saying, listen, Joshua, I want you to rise up. I want you to lead these people in there. This is the territory I've called you to. But then He goes on to say in verse 8, this book of the law, He's talking about the Bible, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. See, here's Joshua, just like you and me, saying, okay, there's my calling. There's the promised blessing. And it's not just for Joshua. It's for his family. It's for his nation, Israel. And he's looking at it, and he sees the Jordan. He sees Jericho. And he sees these giants, and he sees these obstacles. And he's wondering, can I do it? Am I sufficient? Am I able to do this? I don't know what's going to happen. How do I know that we're going to be able to fight these other armies? How do I know I'm going to be successful? And the Lord tells him right here, listen, you want to have the strength and the courage to take this on? Do you want to have the wisdom you need? Do you want to know the right thing to do and have the right strategy? You need to get in the book. If you want to get into your destiny, then you need to get into the word. Because this is your territory. Do you see what I'm saying? Before you can enter into your promised land, you've got to enter into the Word of God that contains all those promises. Why? Because it's got to get into you before you can get into it. You've got to get the promises into you before you can get into the promises. The Word has to get in you so that the will of God can come out of you. Let me say it again. If you want to enter into your destiny, you first have to enter into the Word of God. This book contains all the wisdom and the principles and the instructions and the promises. It contains all the truth, the commandments, all the strength, all the grace that you need is right here. And the Lord is telling Joshua, you need to get into the Word. You need to meditate in this word day and night. And if you do that, that's what's going to bring the results in your life. See, a lot of times we're out there trying to do it on our own. We're trying to figure out who we are. What's my territory? What's my purpose? Why am I here? What's my calling? And the Lord's saying, but it's right here. It's right here. I want to speak it to you. And then we're trying to make it happen on our own. And the Lord's saying, but it's right here. I want to show you how to do it. See, this is what the Lord wants for us. He wants to speak to us and make it clear who we are. Listen to this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word of God, the Bible's saying here, the Apostle Paul is writing here and saying, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God, meaning God wrote this book through people. The Holy Spirit wrote this book through human beings. And it's saying that this book is profitable. It's good for you for doctrine. Doctrine means truth, reality, for reproof, areas of correction, areas where we need to be encouraged or exhorted, told what to do, areas of instruction in righteousness. And he says that this is the reason why. Verse 17, that the man of God, that includes you ladies, right? Men and women of God, that God's people would be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. The word of God is what will prepare you to possess your promised land. It's the Word of God that equips you and shapes you and molds you. It's the Word of God that can heal you and bring restoration, clean up your mind, purify your heart, strengthen you, give you the confidence you need, give you the wisdom that you need, help you to avoid wrong choices that would be pitfalls in your life. It's the Word of God that when you believe the promises will give you the confidence to move forward and not be afraid. The Word of God will equip you, prepare you to possess your promised land. This is why you've got to enter the Word before you enter your destiny. You've got to enter the Word before you enter your destiny. See, it's right here. This is your territory. This is your territory. So God says to Joshua, meditate in this day and night. Meditate in this word, this book of the law, day and night, day and night, day and night. There's really five ways to get into the word. Five simple ways. Number one, read the Bible. Number two, listen to the Bible being preached by others. Number three, memorize the Bible. Memorize scriptures. Number four, meditate. It means to ponder over and over again, speaking the Word of God out loud and kind of personalizing it, almost preaching it back to yourself. And number five, studying. Studying. It means to look at the Bible in context, take notes, and study what it's being talked about. I believe every believer is called to get into the Word of God, to go deep in the Word of God, and even to study. I believe every believer that getting into the Word of God, this is the way that we become mature followers of Jesus. This is the way that we become fruitful Christians. And then we have something not only for ourselves, but for our children, our families, other people to give it away. And I believe every Christian can study the Bible even in a simple way, to be able to just look at the Bible and observe it and understand how to unpack some of the truths in the Scriptures. I believe every believer can meditate the Bible and ponder it and even memorize the Scripture. Every believer can do this, but I'll tell you, the backbone of all this, the backbone of even listening to the Bible being preached, the backbone of studying the Bible, meditating, memorizing, it all comes back to reading it. How do you memorize if you don't read it, yeah? How do you meditate on the Bible if you haven't started to read it? Even if you know, like here on a Sunday morning or maybe throughout the week, listen to podcasts, I'll do that. And you're listening to other people preach it, but how are you going to get it into your own heart, personalize it? Really grab hold of it and understand how you're to live it out unless you're reading it. And this is why daily reading the Bible is really just a first step, isn't it? It's just the first step. It's something that begins to create a foundation or a backbone so that the Lord can begin to build you and strengthen you and He can begin to speak to you. See, if you're spending time with the Lord, then you're creating an opportunity that the Lord could speak to you. If you open up the Word of God and get into the Word of God, now you're giving Him an opportunity to show you who you are and show you what your calling is and give you the resources and the tools and the wisdom that you need. But if we don't make time for Him, and if we don't make time for the Word, then we're losing out on that opportunity. We're missing that opportunity. We're not creating the possibility for it to happen. And so this is why we'll often say, and this is why we encourage, we read our Bibles every day. Every day. We read our Bibles every day. That's why we say that. And that's why we pass out these journals every year and encourage you to get into the Word of God. And this is also why we do Operation Solid Lives. It's not meant to be just a class. It's not meant to be just something religious. It's equipping. It's empowering you. It's resourcing you to give you the tools, to give you the structure that you need to be able to get into the Word of God. Why? It's not about being religious. It's not about like, oh, I read my Bible today. Check that off. Or I read through the whole Bible. I read through the whole Bible. You know, people tell me that sometimes. Yes, 10 years ago, I read through the whole Bible. That's great. That's awesome. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But to me, that's like somebody saying, I ate 10 years ago. You're like, yeah, you should eat again. You should do that. To me, it's not like information that I need. We live in a generation full of information. We don't need more information. We need the truth. We need someone to take that information and interpret it to us and make it make sense to us and bring clarity to us, don't we? And that's why we open up the Word of God so that God can speak to us and give to us the things that we need. It's not religious. It's that if I want to enter into my destiny, I need to enter into the Word first. That it's the Word of God, the Scriptures that have been given directly from God to us, that if I want to be prepared to possess my promised land, if I want to be equipped to do what God has called me to do, I need the Word of God. It has the only essential ingredients. It has the only resources and tools and wisdom that I need to fulfill my calling. Nothing else will do. If you're going to be a doctor, you go to doctor school. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school, right? I mean, we have to be equipped to do what God's called us to do. And I praise God for, you know, trade schools or other types of education that equip us for our particular, maybe our occupation. But that's not the limit of your calling. That's just your occupation. That's just a part of who you are and what you do in life. And I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of it. What you went to school to do and such, that was a good thing, but you sacrificed. You worked hard. You learned. You grew so that you could have more. But that's what the Lord's saying to you about His Word. There's things that school can never teach you. There's things that it can teach you, but there's things that school can never teach you. There's things that you'll never get from a seminar or from a class. There's things that you'll never get just from reading a book that a person wrote. God knows everything about everything. And He can take from the truths in the Word of God and speak to you and make it clear to you. So if you want to be prepared to possess your promise, and if you want to enter into your destiny, you've got to enter into the Word. And it really does start daily with the Word of God. Daily. Daily. In fact, let's roll that video. There's just some simple ways that you can just get into this. Watch a video. We're going to watch this video, and it's going to just give us some clarity about how you can do this and begin to make this a habit in your life.
The Solid Life Journal and Reading Plans have been designed to help you become a solid life as you spend time with the Lord daily in reading His Word and applying it to your life. The first few pages of the journal give a brief description of the features in your journal and how it is designed to be used. In the back of your journal, there are three different reading plans: the New Testament plan, the Solid Life reading plan, and the 1-2 plan. The New Testament plan will take you through one chapter or two small chapters per day as you read the New Testament throughout the year. The Solid Life reading plan averages 3 chapters a day, and you'll complete reading the whole Bible in a year. The 1-2 plan averages 4 chapters per day, completing the whole Bible in a year and the New Testament twice. So as you and those around you read, you can easily share and encourage each other from your daily reading. Now, let's begin journaling. As you prepare, ask the Lord to speak to you and welcome His presence wherever you are. Turn to the reading plans in the back, locate and read the chapters for today's date. As you read, the Lord will begin to speak to you. On a blank journal page, capture what the Lord is speaking as a journal entry for that day. Notice that each journal page uses the acronym SOAP to help guide you through the process. Scripture is where you jot down the verse or portion of verses through which the Lord may be speaking to you. Observation is where you can write the truth or insights you see in these verses. Application is the place to write how these truths or insights apply to your life. Prayer is where you can write a prayer and response to God. At the end of your journaling time, jot a title for your entry at the top of the page and make sure to add it in your table of contents so that you can easily find it later. That's the Solid Life Journal. But what do you do if you're on the go and don't have your Bible or journal handy? We're excited to tell you that the Solid Life Reading Plan is also available on your smartphone, tablet, or computer on the Bible app. In your App Store, search for the Bible app. Download and enjoy hundreds of Bible versions in over 900 languages as you read on the go. In the Plan section, search for the Solid Life Reading Plan and select the Start Plan option. Now, you can use the Bible app to access and complete your daily reading plan. What's more, you can track your progress, highlight scriptures, share with others, and even have your daily reading read aloud to you. The Bible app is available on iOS and Android devices, and all of these great features can also be accessed online at Bible.com. Simply set up an account, start your plan,
and you're good to go for the year. Remember, reading is only a part of the process. As you read and hear what the Lord is speaking to you, make sure you have somewhere to write down what He is saying so that you can apply it to your life. For more details, visit us online at gototherock.com/journal. May you become a more solid life as you read, journal, and apply what God is speaking to you with the Solid Life Journal.
All right. So you can see how simple it is to maybe wake up even 5 or 15 minutes earlier. Sometimes just do it while you're eating breakfast or something. And you flip to the back of the page, the back of the journal, I mean. And right there in the back of the journal, you'll see the reading plan. And it says right here, January 1st, for example, January 1st. And if you look just to the right of that page, it says the New Testament plan. The New Testament plan. If you go with the New Testament plan, you'll read through the whole New Testament in 1 year. Even a little, you'll read a little bit extra. You can do more if you want. You can read the Old Testament as well and make it through the Old Testament in a year. You can even add the 1-2 plan, which is going through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once. But if you want to just start simple and just sit down, spend some time with the Lord, right there, that New Testament plan, that's what we encourage you to do. You can read one chapter a day. One chapter a day. Doesn't even take you that long, maybe 5 or 10 minutes to read it. Could be while you're eating lunch or eating breakfast or something. And just take a moment to just ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. And I think many of you would be surprised how often that the Lord would give you an insight or speak to you, encourage you right there from the Word of God. And you just jot it down. It doesn't have to be a diary. It doesn't have to be real eloquent or anything. Just writing down that scripture, writing down a few things that the Lord said to you. And what happens is, little by little, it's like spiritually working out. You're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Sometimes you don't feel the difference right away. Coming to church, you might be encouraged, or reading your Bible, you might be encouraged, but you don't always feel it or even see the difference right away. But it's like spiritually working out. Little by little, you'll get stronger, spiritually more healthy. Your mind will become more clear. There's so much confusion in this world today. There's so much confusion out there, moral confusion. There's so many voices, so many different opinions out there. And I thought it was bad when we just had the TV, but now with social media, everybody can say whatever they think. And they can tell you that science has now backed it up when it doesn't really. They can say whatever they want, and people are just spouting off stuff, and it can get confusing. We need clarity. We need truth, and the Bible is called a light that shines in a dark place. And here it is, every day you come and you sit down and light shines into your heart and your mind. And maybe you've been weary, or maybe you've been having questions, or you've been struggling with some things, and yet here you'd sit down and light would shine into your mind. Or maybe there's some things you need to do, you need to get going in life, but you don't have the confidence or the strength. God was telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. Well, how do I do that? Meditate my word. Because if you'll come to His word little by little, strength will come to you. Strength will come to you. Courage, confidence, fear will be broken off. You'll rise up and know who I am and what I'm called to do. You'll have clarity and you'll have confidence. I believe that's what the Lord wants to give you. Clarity and confidence. He wants to prepare you to possess your promised land. He wants you to move into some things. But if you're going to take possession in 2018, if you're going to grab hold of some things, and if you're going to grow into your destiny in 2018, you've got to get into the Word. You've got to get into the Word of God and let the Lord speak to you and mold you and shape you. Let me end with this. I love this story. I've probably shared it before, but it's a story about a young boy who was discouraged about hearing God. His dad would have him read the Bible, and he said, Dad, I don't really get anything out of the Bible. And I've heard people say that to me many times. And I get that. Sometimes you hear the Lord, sometimes you just don't feel anything. And this son is questioning his dad, like, why do we do this? You know, why do we go to church and such? And his dad said, see that basket over there in the corner? It was all dirty. It was full of coal dust. Black. his dad said to him, hey, go down to the river and go get me some water. So the son, you know, wanting to honor his daddy, went down to the river, filled up the basket with water, and he came back. But by the time he got back to his dad, all the water drained out of the basket. It wasn't a bucket, it was a basket. And so he says, oh, dad, it all drained out. And he says, that's all right. Do it again. See if you can do it. You know, so of course, like my son, man, if he's got a challenge, he's going to try to do it. You know, it's all about competition. So this son says, okay, I'll try. He runs down, fills it up with water, and this time he tries to like run back, you know, tries to run back and see if he can get back to his dad before all the water drains out. And he runs back, and of course, now he's all wet and his legs are wet and it all drains out. And he says, dad, this is pointless. Why are you having me do this? It all just drained out. I should just go get a bucket. And he says, son, look at the basket. Do you remember what it looked like before? He said, yeah, it was all black. He says, well, what does it look like now? He says, well, it's clean. And the dad says, exactly. He says, you may read the Bible and you might not get something out of it every time. Or you may read the Bible and you don't really remember it. Oh, I don't remember where that verse was. It said something like, and so you feel like, well, I'm not some Bible scholar. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. You don't need to be a pastor. But just as a child of God, fill up your mind with the Word of God. Fill up your heart with the Word of God. And yeah, you might leak a little bit. You might not remember that verse, or you just didn't feel like you got anything out of it. And yet what's happening to your mind is being purified. Just like that water ran through all the holes in the basket, washed all that black stuff out. Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's so much opportunity in this world to think like our world, to think revengefully like our world does, or lustfully like our world does, or greedy like our world, or prideful like our world thinks. There's so many values that people want to put into you that are not going to bless you and they're not going to honor God. And just being in this world, we can kind of get dirty, we can get distracted, we can get confused, we can make bad choices. And the Lord's saying, if you'd come to my word will renew your mind, purify the way you think, heal your heart, and equip you and prepare you to enter into your destiny. See, I grabbed hold of that even when I was 16 years old. When I came to the Lord and I started getting into the Word of God, it wasn't the Bible reading that I was so excited about. It was the result. I want the result. I want the power of God in my life. I want to see the blessing of God in my life. So it's not religious, like, well, if I read the Bible, God will like me. No, I need to meet with God, and I need to hear the Lord, and I need Him to speak to me and bring clarity to me. I need Him to change the way I speak to other people and the way I relate and the way I work, the way I talk, the way I minister. I need the Lord to change me, renew my mind, fill me with confidence so that I can take hold of what He has for me. And I know you need the same thing. Hey, let's respond to the Lord. Stand up with me and let's respond to the Lord. This is why when the disciples were hanging out with Jesus, they'd been around Him long enough to realize, you've got something I need. And you remember Jesus was teaching? And people were offended at what He was saying. Jesus wasn't necessarily one to just keep it simple. So He was bringing some heavy truth, and people got offended at Jesus. And some of the disciples of Jesus, not the original, not the 12, but a bunch of the other disciples, they were like, man, I'm out of here. And Jesus said to the 12, He said, do you guys want to leave too? Do you guys want to leave too? And do you guys remember what Peter said? It's in John chapter 6. Peter looked at Jesus and he said, where else shall we go? You have the words of life. See, something happens when you're hearing the Word of God preached even through just a fallible person like me, but you're hearing the truth of God, the word preached. Something that happens when you sit down and you open the Bible and you begin to read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, and you encounter him there. And just like Peter, I believe you feel the same way. And I believe if you'll go deeper in the Word of God, God's Word will grip you, satisfy you, strengthen you, equip you. And just like Peter, Jesus could look at you and say, do you want to go? Are you done? You want to move on with your life and just do something else? And you would say, Jesus, where else will I go? I need you. You have the words of life. Can we do that right now? Can we tell the Lord, that's what I want. I want your word. I need you.